Man is born with the capacity to live. Everybody is born with the capacity to live. That's what birth means. Capacity to live. Then somewhere on the way, man loses the capacity to live. Becomes non-orgasmic. Becomes sad, serious, dull, stupid. Each child is born intelligent, full of joy, wonders, adventures, inquiry. Each child is born open-ended. But somewhere near the age 3 and 4, between 3 and 4, the child is distracted by the society, loses all contact of his original capacities, and becomes a false entity. Up to the age 3, the child remains part of nature, flowing, happy for nothing at all, happy for no reason, just happy. Just watch a child. What he has got to be happy about? But he looks at the top of the world. For small things, he can be so happy. Just pebbles collecting on the seashore. And he can be so happy that you are never going to be. Even if you collect Kohinoors, you will not be so happy. And just pebble colored stones are rushing after a butterfly. And a child seems to be so joyous. Somewhere near the age 3, the child becomes civilized. We force him. We initiate him into civilization. And civilization up to now has been a kind of insanity, a madhouse. We force the child to become more and more intellectual and less intelligent. We force the child to become more and more prosaic and less poetic. We force the child to become more and more concerned about the non-essential, money, prestige, power, ambition, and more uninterested into the real joys of life. We turn the child from a playful being into a worker. The work ethos enters. Now duty becomes more important than love. Formality becomes more important than informal fellow. Manners become more important than truth. Policy becomes more important than authenticity. Once the child has learned these strategies, he is no more happy. And when a child is no more happy, then he needs some reason why he is unhappy. First we make him unhappy. Then naturally one day he is going to ask, why I am unhappy? Then you have to find reasons. Hindus say, because in your past lives you have done bad karmas. Christians say, because of the original sin, because Adam committed a sin of disobedience to God, that's why. And so on and so forth. Now look at the whole stupidity of it. First, you destroy the capacity to enjoy. Then naturally, when the child becomes non-enjoying, he asks, why I am miserable? Why I am unhappy? Why I can't be happy? What has gone wrong? Naturally, you cannot say what has gone wrong. You may not be even aware of it. You cannot say that you have put him on the wrong track. And you may not have put him on the wrong track knowingly. You may have simply given it as a heritage. Your fathers, your society, your mothers have given it to you. You have given it to your children. Each generation gives its neurosis to the new generation. Madnesses go on living. People go on changing. Madnesses go on living. You may not be aware that each child is born with infinite potentiality to be happy. Each child is orgasmic. But one day or other he is going to ask, and you have to provide answers. So you create guilt. You say, because you have committed sin in the past life, so you are Adam and Eve, that doesn't matter. Anybody X, Y, Z will do. Just you have to give an explanation that something has gone wrong in the past. And past is beyond your capacity. You cannot do anything. What can I do or you do about Adam and Eve? How we can manage him not eating the apples? It is impossible. He has eaten it. It has already happened. We cannot undo it. And it is not a drama that is happening right now. One day I heard two small children, one boy and girl, brother and sister, were playing, and then the boy hit the girl very hard and she started screaming, and the mother came. And the mother asked, "What is the matter? Why you have hit your sister?" And the boy said, "We were playing Adam and Eve. And rather than giving me the apple, she ate it herself." Now this is not a drama. We cannot change it anymore. It has already happened. Adam has eaten the fruit of knowledge. You cannot do anything. You simply feel guilty. Hindus look more rational. They are. But that doesn't make much difference. Hindus say it looks absurd that for Adam's sin you will suffer. They make it more rational. They are rational people. They have been philosophizing for centuries. They say it is your past karmas. In your past life you have done wrong. Now who is going to suffer? You are going to suffer for your wrong. It looks more logical, but it is not. You go on asking a Hindu pandit, then okay, in my previous life I did something wrong. What about in my previous life also I was suffering? How back you can go? There must be first life somewhere. Why I did something wrong in my first life? Because there is no other life to precede it. So you cannot throw the responsibility on the previous life. Why it happened in the first place? It is absurd. Nobody has the answers. In fact, it has not happened in the Garden of Eden. And it has not happened in your past life. It has happened in your this life. And it has happened in your parents' house. And it has happened in your school. And it has happened in your society, in your country. And it has been done by the parents and the priest and the politician. These are the culprits. These are the criminals. They have taken your joy. And they have given you wrong things. They have taken real nutritious food from you, and they have given you lollipops. Even if it tastes good, it does not satisfy hunger. Even if it tastes good, it does not fulfill. It does not make you strong. Yes, ambition tastes good. It is a lollipop. Fame, success tastes good, but deep down you remain poor. Look at your so-called rich people. Look a little deeper in them, and they are beggars. Worse than beggars. Sometimes it is possible a beggar may have something inside him, a luminous being. Buddha was a beggar, so was Mahavira. But look at your kings and your rich people, dull and dead. No joy surrounds them. Just they go on somehow dragging. And you have been put on the same track. Somebody is needed to take you out of this condition. That's the function of a master, to uncondition you. To take all the conditioning that your parents have given. The master is basically against your parents and against your society and against your politicians. Hence it is not accidental that politicians and the parents and the society and the priest are always against a real master whenever he happens. That is where the conflict is. That's what I'm doing here. Taking your wrong conditioning so that your joy can erupt again. It is there. That spring is there. Nobody can destroy it. It is existential. It is part of your being. Nobody can take it away. Only it has been blocked. The spring is there and the fresh water is still running there. But only rocks have been put around you. You have been blocked. Once those rocks are taken away, again you will become a child. It will be a rebirth. Again you will start flowing. Again your eyes will have luster and your face will have joy. Again you will become luminous. That's what Jesus means when he goes on saying, only those who are like children will be able to enter into the kingdom of my God. How you have been destroyed in your childhood. That has to be looked into. You were born capable of living. Everybody is born. Then your capacity to live has been taken away. And the way and the trick that has been used to take it away is to give you false ideas. Pseudo ideas. To move you in directions which are futile, meaningless. To put you on tracks which go nowhere, which always end in a cul-de-sac. And when naturally you are in a cul-de-sac, and your life is not going anywhere, are running in circles, an explanation is needed. Why this happened to me? Why this happened to me and not to others? That too is in the mind of everybody, that everybody else is happy, only I am miserable. Because you look only faces. And people manage their faces. They have masks. They don't want to show their misery. What is the point? They keep it hidden. So when you look around, you may see that everybody seems to be happy, only I am miserable. And that's how everybody is thinking. That everybody else seems to be happy, only I am miserable. All are miserable. Misery is there because the society has distracted you. It is not that man is born with incapacity to live, no. That is not the problem. That's why I don't agree. The problem is not that man has no capacity to joy. Man has, The problem is that man is not allowed to grow in a natural way. There are vested interests which don't allow man to go into joyous ways. They need a miserable man. For their own purposes, the miserable man is more suitable than a happy man, because a happy man is a rebel, and a miserable man is never a rebel. A miserable man is always ready to obey, always ready to submit. A miserable man is so miserable that he cannot stand on his own. He knows on his own he is just miserable. So he is ready to fall in anybody's trap. Any politician can become the leader if people are miserable. Then any stupid person can become your leader, your prime minister, your president. Because he can promise you. He can promise you great things. And you are so miserable that you trust the promises. If you are happy, nobody can deceive you by promising, because you need not have any promise. You are already happy. With a happy world, politicians will disappear. When you are unhappy, you start thinking maybe this life is wasted. This life I could not manage. Even if I can manage the coming one, that is more than enough to ask. You go to the priest. The priest promises you the other life. The politician promises something good in the future, in this life. And the priest promises you something good in another life, beyond death. Both go on promising. Promises are needed by miserable people. If you are happy, you will not go to the politician, and you will not go to the priest. For what? You are already happy. You are already in paradise. Then the whole profession of the priest and the politician disappears. And these are the exploiters. These are the people who are sitting on your heart and blocking your energies. They can remain in power only if you are miserable. Remember it. By being miserable, you are helping a gang of exploiters. Be happy, and you bring the greatest revolution in the world. Sometimes people come to me and they ask, why don't you teach something so that the society can be changed? That's what I am doing. But I am doing it so fundamentally. I don't teach you any social revolution. I don't say to you that go and throw this government. That is meaningless. Because those who will throw the government will become your exploiters. It never changes anything. Down the ages, man has been changing the government and the social structure and the economic structure, but nothing basically ever changes. Again and again, the same thing happens. Man is caught. All hopes are hopeless. But I am doing something really revolutionary, radical, and that is I am trying to make you happy. Now, it may not be very obvious to you how it is concerned with the revolution of the society. It is concerned. A happy person is beyond being oppressed, exploited, because a happy person needs no promise. A happy person is already happy, so he is not worried about paradise or afterlife. That is all nonsense. A happy person is not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow takes care of itself. Jesus says, look at the lilies in the fields. They don't think of tomorrow. They don't toil. They don't labor. They live an unworried existence. They are just there. But I say unto you that even Solomon, attired in all his beautiful, valuable dresses, was not so beautiful as these flowers of lilies. That's what sannyas is all about. I would like you to become a lily, a flower, unconcerned about the future, unconcerned about the past. The past is no more and the future is not yet. Only the present is there. Bloom in it. Be happy in it. Rejoice in it. Celebrate in it. And you bring a great revolution in the world, because you will be getting out of all the traps of the priests and the politicians. The priests and politicians create guilt in you. They do the harm and then they make you feel guilty. They destroy your capacity to live, to love, to delight, and then they throw the responsibility on you. It is your sin. It is your wrongdoing that has made you so miserable. Then they create guilt. But the basic problem is conditioning. Men should be helped to live a natural life. Men should not be conditioned to live an unnatural life. The basic problem is not incapacity to live, you are born with it. The basic problem is how not to allow others to destroy that capacity. Once they destroy, then they bring guilt also in. Guilt is their protection. They protect themselves behind the garb of the guilt. First they kill you and then they make you guilty that you have committed suicide. Thank you.